From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo said apply technology to prevent land and forest fires. Minister Mahfud said Indonesia successful in minimizing forest fires. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo highlighted the need to apply technology to prevent land and forest fires while monitoring fire-prone areas. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday amid Indonesia's hectic activities related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesia also has a major task of taking precautionary measures to tackle land and forest fires. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, has claimed that Indonesia has successfully minimized forest fire with no massive fires reported in the country in the past few years. The government has prepared some integrated measures to prevent land and forest fires. This was affirmed by Minister Mahfud in Jakarta on Tuesday after attending a limited meeting on the issue led by President Joko Widodo. Minister Mahfud also remarked that efforts to prevent and mitigate forest fire will need firm law enforcement. Some measures have been prepared in anticipation of forest fires this year. Australia is set to disburse aid totaling $3.3 million to the United Nations Children Fund to support Indonesia's COVID-19 response and recovery efforts. In a joint statement, the Australian Embassy in Jakarta and UNICEF said that with new funding, they would work together to maintain essential health services in communities, strengthening health system, improve basic water, sanitation and hygiene practices, and supply critical goods. The aid would also be utilized to make sure that women, children, and vulnerable communities have access to nutrition intervention. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia, Gary Quinlan, has said recently, as a close friend and long-term partner to Indonesia, whose futures are inseparable, Australia has a shared interest in combating against the COVID-19 and its impact, and Australia is pleased to partner with UNICEF to support immediate health and humanitarian needs. The National COVID-19 Task Force has announced that natural tourism venues and activities will reopen in stages. These include conservation and ecosystem-based activities in COVID-19 green and yellow zones. Chief of the COVID-19 Task Force, Doni Monardo, who is a member of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, said that the decision to open a particular area would be the responsibility of regions and mayors in the 270 regencies and cities designated green or yellow zones. He reminded the regions and mayors to always consult with governors and refer to regulations that have been made by the central government regarding policies for a productive and safe society. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar said that the Indonesian government is anticipating a potential explosion in forest and land fires during August and September this year. After attending a limited meeting along with President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Siti Nurbaya stated that based on monitoring in northern Sumatra, Riau and Aceh, and parts of North Sumatra, there are normally two critical phases in the occurrence of forest fires. She also remarked that the first phase occurred in March to April, while the second phase falls in June to July, and the peaks will be in August to September. The United Nations reported that an Indonesian soldier with the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Democratic Republic of Congo was killed in a militia attack late Monday in the country's troubled east. C. Kuombo, a communication officer with the MONUSCO peacekeeping force, told AFP on Tuesday that their patrols was attacked around 20 kilometers from Beni City in North Kivu province. In a statement, MONUSCO's chief, Leila Zorugi, condemned the attack, which she said was carried out by suspected members of the ADF, the Allied Democratic Forces, a notorious armed group in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. According to Leila Zerugi, the soldier had been taking part in a project to build a bridge in the Hululu area. China and India have agreed to reduce tensions a week after clashes on their disputed Himalayan border left 20 Indian troops dead in brutal hand-to-hand fighting. The June 15 battle, reportedly fought with fists, clubs, and rocks, was the first time troops have been killed on their border since 1975 and marked a major deterioration in ties between the two Asian giants. Spokesman of Chinese Foreign Ministry Zhao Lijian said that after talks between the top regional military commanders on Monday, both sides agreed to take necessary measures to promote a cooling of the situation. The Press Trust of India reported that the meeting was between Lieutenant General Harinder Singh, commander of the 14th Corps, and Major General Liu Lin, commander of the Tibet Military District. Zhao told a regular news conference, "The holding of this meeting shows that both sides want to deal with their disagreement, manage the situation, and de-escalate the situation through dialogue and consultation." Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said on Tuesday, June 23rd, he has called General Election 2020 to clear the decks for a fresh mandate for the government. In a televised address to the nation, Prime Minister Lee said he has advised President Halimah Yacob to dissolve parliament and issue the writ of election. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. An election now will give the new government a fresh 5 years mandate to focus on the national agenda and the difficult decision it will have to make. The Prime Minister's office said President Halimah has dissolved parliament and that nomination day will be on June 30th. Polling day will be on July 10th on Friday. The election department said, adding that the polling day in any general election is a public holiday. Before deciding to proceed with the election, Prime Minister Lee said he had to be certain of two things: that voters can vote safely and political parties can campaign effectively.
On voter safety, the elections department will be implementing additional precautions on polling day. We are setting up more polling stations than in previous elections to reduce crowding. There will be safe distancing measures practiced at the polling stations. Voters will be allocated specific time slots to vote, and seniors will be given priority to vote before others. On effective campaigning, the Elections Department has also made arrangements and issued guidelines. Candidates can still go house-to-house campaigning in person, provided they observe the safe distancing precautions. Unfortunately, physical election rallies will not be possible, but we will make up with more opportunities for candidates to speak directly to voters on television and, of course, online, for example, via live streaming.
During the election period, the government will continue to govern, adding that the cabinet remains in charge even after parliament is dissolved and the public service will continue to function as in every general election. The ministerial task force leading Singapore's response to COVID-19 will also continue its work, and businesses, workers, and families will receive help and support.
During the election period, the government will continue to govern. The cabinet remains in charge even after parliament is dissolved. The public service will function normally. This is so in every general election, but I particularly emphasize this now because of the vital importance of ongoing operations against COVID-19, sustaining the economy, and protecting jobs. Therefore, over the next few weeks, you can expect the ministerial task force still to lead our response to COVID-19.
Prime Minister Lee added that this general election will be like no other that Singaporeans have experienced, not only because of the special arrangement to deal with COVID-19, but the gravity of the situation and the issues at stake. The government that will be elected will have critical decisions to make. This decision will impact the lives and livelihoods and shape Singapore for many years to come, far beyond the 5 years term of the next government.
Since the fall of the Muammar Gaddafi regime in 2011, Libya has continued to flare up. Armed conflict between the government and opposing parties continues. Lately, the conflict is getting hotter with the intervention of foreign parties. After Egypt said it would support the rebels, Turkey insisted it would soon assist the government in military and weapons form. The Turkish government firmly supports the ruling Libya government and ensures it will send military assistance to fight the rebels. The decision declared by the Turkish President Erdogan ignited the opinions of other countries in favor of General Khalifa Haftar, who opposed the government. For Turkey, its attitude and commitment are reasonable because the government it supports is internationally recognized. From Ankara came strong criticism of France of Erdogan's policies. A spokesman for the Turkish Foreign Ministry said that France only increased tension in Libya. France, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates are supporters of the rebel General Khalifa Haftar. Indeed, the path of violence is not the best way to resolve disputes that have manifested in war. The attitudes and decisions of foreign parties, both those supporting the government and the rebels, especially in the form of the military and weaponry, have proven to be increasingly fueling wars. The government and the rebels not only feel they have moral support, but also political, military, and weapons support. The war keeps on going. Libya's natural resources continue to be depleted. People are divided and increasingly suffer from the chaos that has eroded people's life, especially the economy. The United Nations views the importance of a peaceful effort to resolve the conflict in Libya, which has lasted for almost 10 years. This UN initiative needs to be supported. There must be concrete steps to encourage the government and rebels in Libya to sit at one table. Foreign countries, whether supporting the government or vice versa, must hold back. There needs to be other countries or parties who are willing and able to become mediators with UN support. Otherwise, Libya will be increasingly torn to pieces by war and its people will suffer even more. And listener, that was commentary. Welcome back to Today in History. We start from a history on June 24, 1951, the first midwife conference in Indonesia. In the history of the Indonesian midwife said that June 24th was commemorated as Indonesian Midwives Association. The inauguration of the Indonesian Midwives Association was based on the results of the first midwife conference held in Jakarta on June 24, 1951. The conference was initiated by senior midwives who domiciled in Jakarta. The first midwife conference has succeeded in laying a strong foundation and the right direction for the next midwife struggle, namely establishing a professional organization called the Indonesian National Midwives Association based on Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution. This professional organization can help and accommodate all the needs of midwives in Indonesia, especially in remote areas. Now we turn to next history. On June 24, 1982, was Jakarta flight incident. British Airways Flight 9, also known as the Jakarta incident, was a British Airways flight that starts from Heathrow, London, to Auckland and stopped in Bombay, Madras, Kuala Lumpur, Perth, and Melbourne. On June 24, 1982, the plane flew to the volcanic ash cloud from the eruption of Mount Galunggung, making all engines die. The plane was then diverted to Jakarta and hoped that the engines would start and landing there. This aircraft can get out of the ash cloud and restart the engine, then landing the plane safely at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport. Nobody was hurt. This incident was pointed in an air crash investigation TV series titled All Engines Failed. We end with a history. In 2002 was Igandu train accident in Tanzania. Igandu train accident was an accident that occurred in the morning of June 24, 2002 in Tanzania. This accident was one of the worst train accidents in African history. A large passenger train with more than 1,200 people aboard rolled backwards down the hill into a slow-moving freight train, killing 281 people. The accident was caused by a dilapidated railway system. And listener, that was today in history.
Kau mau tahu seberapa besar rasamu? Dalam hatimu, ku tak ingin engkau ragu tentang rasaku ini padamu. Ku tak ingin engkau jauh. Ku mau kamu, kamu, kamu selalu ada. Tentang
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia-Malaysia Develop Tourism Travel Corridor Jointly. Indonesia and Malaysia agreed to cooperate in rebuilding tourism and the creative economy which were impacted by COVID-19 pandemic. One of them is by building a joint tourism corridor. Marketing Deputy at Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry, Nia Nisjaya, in a written statement received by Antara News Agency on Saturday, June 20th, said that Malaysia is an important partner for Indonesian tourism. Malaysia has been one of the biggest sources of foreign tourists to Indonesia. In 2019, 2.09 million tourists from Malaysia visited Indonesia. That was stated by Nia Nisjaya when being a guest speaker in Network Industry Travel Talk Show with Malaysian Tourism Arts and Culture Minister Dato Sri Nancy Shukri with the topic Regional Tourism Collaborative Opportunities Post-COVID-19 on Friday evening, June 19th. According to Nia Nisjaya, COVID-19 had brought about fundamental changes for tourists who will travel. For international travel, tourists will prefer having shorter trips. Therefore, Malaysia becomes one of potential partners to regrow international travel. She also explained the cooperation is how to get the world's trust that the two countries have successfully controlled coronavirus spread and agreed to create a travel corridor. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry had prepared a handbook that refers to global standards as a manual for business people in tourism and creative economy. This handbook is a more detailed derivative from protocol under development by the Health Ministry based on recommendations from the Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry for Tourism and Creative Economy. Nia Nisjaya further states that good implementation of the protocol is expected to enhance tourists' trust. This is important because trust is a key in recovery acceleration. Similarly, Malaysian Minister for Tourism, Arts and Culture, Dato Sri Nancy Shukri, said that Malaysia really enjoys cooperation with Indonesia. According to her, Indonesia and Malaysia must be able to increase cooperation to develop tourism. Tourism must be able to adapt well to regrow tourists' trust to travel and stay longer to many destinations. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Daun Hill. Stay tuned. Curup is a city in a mountainous area of Bukit Barisan and surrounded by Kaba and Daun Hill. Its indigenous people are Rejang tribes, but there are also many people from other tribes such as Jawa, Lembak, Minang, Sarawai, and Sunda. The city became the capital city of South Sumatra province in the era of Governor A.K. Ghani's government. Visiting Curup City is not enough if you do not watch the beauty of the city from the peak of Daun Hill. Daun Hill is one of protected forests in Indonesia, which supply oxygen. The forest is easy to be accessed because it is the highway of Sumatra and located along a nine-winding road that extends between Kepahiang and central Bengkulu Regency of Bengkulu province. To enter Daun Hill Forest, your eyes will be spoiled by beautiful natural panoramas. The atmosphere here is still fresh. You can breathe air without pollution. Even you will hear chirps of birds or monkeys which jump from one twig to another while shouting at each other. The protected forest also supports the people's life in the surrounding area. The forest is rich with products such as wood, rattan, resin, honey, or fruits such as petai and durian. In addition, the forest also has fresh air and supply water. At its primary forest as natural exotica, the typical tropical rainforest's nature is still thick. The trees that grow look quite dense, even the sun is not fully able to penetrate the soil surface. Special endemic of the forest is Rafflesia, the biggest flower in the world. On Daun Hill, there is a big crater 1,700 meters high from the sea surface, which presents interesting scenery. There are directly two roads, namely pathway for trekking and asphalt road, which can be passed by motorcycles. If we enter the peak area, cluster of hills with sunlight piercing through the mountains in orange are seen beautifully. This will amaze everybody who watches it. At night, the sparkling lights of Curup City from the top of the mountain add to the beauty of this place. The night will feel very short if you are there with unforgettable panoramas. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Daun Hill. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Dan ku takkan pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi. Rubah tiap hariku, rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji?
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabularies and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is transportasi umum, or in English, public transportation. Listen to this conversation about transportasi umum, which means public transportation. Kevin asks Rama what mode of transportation can be used to go to campus.
Bagaimana cara naik Transjakarta?
Cek jalurnya.
Tunggulah di halte bus yang benar. Siapkan uang elektronik. Kalau bingung, tanya petugas.
Oke, terima kasih.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Cek jalurnya, which means check the lane. Cek jalurnya, which means check the lane. Tunggu, which means wait for. Tunggu, which means wait for. Halte bus, which means bus shelter. Halte bus, which means bus shelter. uang elektronik, which means electronic money. Uang elektronik, which means electronic money. Bingung, which means confused. Bingung, which means confused. Petugas, which means officer. Petugas, which means officer. Bagaimana cara naik Transjakarta? Which means how to go by Transjakarta bus. Bagaimana cara naik Transjakarta? Which means how to go by Transjakarta bus. Tunggulah di halte bus yang benar. Which means you have to wait at the right bus shelter. Tunggulah di halte bus yang benar. Which means you have to wait at the right bus shelter. Siapkan uang elektronik, which means prepare for electronic money. Siapkan uang elektronik, which means prepare for electronic money. Kalau bingung, tanya petugas, which means ask the officer if you are confused. Kalau bingung, tanya petugas, which means ask the officer if you are confused. In a conversation, Kevin asks bagaimana cara naik Transjakarta. In his expression, there is a question mark, bagaimana cara. Kevin uses the expression to ask how to go by Transjakarta bus. Such a question, usually people will mention some directions. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bagaimana cara naik Transjakarta? Cek jalurnya. Tunggulah di halte bus yang benar. Siapkan uang elektronik. Kalau bingung, tanya petugas.
Oke, terima kasih.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Berkenalan, terimalah salamku. Gayamu
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, here is a song from Central Kalimantan entitled Mamangun Mahagalewu. The title Mamangun Mahalalewu means developing and keeping a region. The song was composed by Bobby Tarung. Its lyrics consist of an invitation to people to build and keep a region because welfare will improve if a region develops. However, when developing a region, nature must be maintained well. Well, listener, here is the song Mamangun Mahagalewu, sung by Nelvira.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.